Turning back to the island, you can now make out a stretch of golden sand, and the green has come into focus as hundreds of palm trees. Tall peaks rise up at the centre. These must be the mountains marked on the map. You wonder if maybe the island is volcanic. Hopefully not. The ship is now beginning to slow. The crew are adjusting the sail so that your speed decreases until you are barely moving, but the island is still quite a way away from the boat. "Drop the anchor," Goldthorn shouts, and the men heave to, lowering the massive metal anchor into the water with a splash. Goldthorn comes to speak to you. "We're going to take one of the small vessels onto the island so that the ship doesn't get stuck on a sandbank. Are you coming ashore?" Having come this far, there's no way you're going to miss out now. You tell him you will, and follow him to where the men are lowering a rowboat down to the water. Goldthorn climbs down a rope ladder into the small craft, and slightly hesitant, you follow suit. You cling tightly to the coarse strands of rope, trying to ignore the frightening way you're rocking against the ship, and just how far you have to go to reach the boat. "Hurry up, we've not got all day," Goldthorn bellows from below you. "It's okay," Jim's voice says, and you look up to see his face looking at you from the deck. "Just go hand over hand on the rope. You'll be down soon." You give him a grateful smile and climb the rest of the way, relieved when you feel wooden planks beneath your feet. You wonder if it might not have been easier to just jump off the side and swim to the island. Settling yourself on one of the benches, you keep out of the way as more pirates join you. Two burly men take up the oars and begin to row towards the beach. The little vessel rises and falls on the waves, but you make fast progress. It's not really surprising when you see the size of the men's arms, bulging with solid muscle and decorated with intricate tattoos. They heave to, grunting slightly with each pull of the oar, but soon the boat is gliding up onto shore, settling with a thud onto the sand. Before it's come to a complete stop, the pirates are jumping onto the beach, Goldthorn at their head. He takes out the map and stares at it for a long moment, then looking up at the tree line, he points to a spot. "This way," he shouts, and you all fall into step behind him. You see the smooth sand is now getting churned up by the men's footprints, and you realise that the island must be deserted. You wonder how long it's been since another soul has set foot here. You hope it was a long time ago, and that there aren't any wild animals or dangerous tribes hiding deep within the jungle. The men seem to share your thoughts, because as you enter the shady woodland, they draw their swords, brandishing them in front of them. They frankly look terrifying. You wouldn't want to take them on, and you hope others feel the same. You are more than happy to walk behind them. They can deal with any danger that lies ahead. Sounds are muffled under the trees, and the temperature seems to rise despite the shade. It's hot and humid, and sweat begins to form on your skin, running down your back and soaking into your clothes. The men are puffing and panting as the ground begins to slope upwards. You're definitely making your way towards the mountains on the map, the ones you saw from the ship. Eventually, Goldthorn orders everyone to stop, and people take out flasks to have a drink. You realise you haven't got one, but Jim leans over and passes one to you. You pull out the cork stopper and take a swig, relieved to find fresh, clean water and not the burning shock of rum. It tastes like the best drink you've ever had, and you take another gulp. "Steady on," Jim says. "We don't know when we're going to be able to fill that up again. You need to make it last." Reluctantly, you recork the bottle and slip the leather strap around your neck. It's an effort to start walking again, but the pirates set a brisk pace, and not wanting to get left behind, you hurry along behind them, trying to avoid the fallen trees, roots and bushes that litter the forest floor. You're so focused on not tripping up that you're not aware of it getting lighter, until you stumble into a clearing and almost walk into Goldthorn, who is again looking at the map. Blinking in the bright sunshine, you see a small stream in front of you. Over the sound of your laboured breathing, you can just make out the sound of the running water as it trickles over the rocks and flows away across the island. "Fill your bottles, men," Goldthorn says, and you gratefully open your bottle, take a long drink, and then dip it into the swiftly flowing stream. You splash some of the cool water over your wrists and the back of your neck. It's a welcome relief from the oppressive heat. Goldthorn is still examining the map, and curiosity overtakes you. You walk across and stand looking over his shoulder. Bounty lets out a squawk from his place on the captain's other shoulder, and you take a small step back, but continue to look at the treasure map. Goldthorn is tracing his finger across the parchment, past the drawing of the palm trees and towards the large black cross. "We need to follow this stream," he says. "It will lead us inland. All we have to do is find its source." Feeling refreshed and with a flutter of excitement, you all set off again, walking along the bank of the stream. Looking around you now, you can appreciate the beauty of the island. The foliage is lush and green, with big, beautiful tropical flowers. There is also lots of wildlife. Brightly coloured birds take to the air with a clatter of wings as you pass by them. Bounty seems to have a smug look as they fly off in shock at the unexpected interruption. You notice a scamper of motion and see some monkeys clambering up trees. They sit in the branches watching as you pass. You wonder if they know where the treasure is. It's a shame they can't tell you. The exploration party has stretched out into a long line to follow the narrow bank, and you're walking near the back, so you don't know what they've discovered when a shout goes up. Your heart leaps and you pick up your pace. The men are standing around a large, clear pool. The water is deep, with jagged-looking rocks at the base, but the men don't seem concerned. Instead, they are pointing to the cliff wall. You can see that behind a curtain of green vines, there's an opening in the rock. A shadowy entrance to a cave. From the murmured conversation, you know there is discussion about whether you should head inside. Goldthorn is walking around the edge of the water, and he comes to a stop, peering down at a rock that's covered in green ivy. He bends down, and drawing his sword, hacks violently at the foliage. You freeze, watching him, wondering what on earth he's doing, and then he lets out a triumphant cry and points to a carving that was previously hidden. You all hurry across and peer down at the stone. It's a skull and crossbones. There's no doubt you're in the right place. "Come on, into the water you go," Goldthorn says. And the men reluctantly walk towards the pool. But you notice Jim has found a small ledge around the cliff, just above the water level. He is carefully picking out a path, and you all stop to watch him. He's moving very slowly, placing his feet gently. But there's a clatter of falling stones, and he stops suddenly, pressing himself against the rock face. He waits, and everybody remains still. When the ledge remains intact, Jim begins to walk again until he reaches the arched entranceway. Goldthorn is leaning forward eagerly as Jim ducks his head and disappears under the arch. Then there's silence. "Jim? Jim, can you hear me?" Goldthorn shouts. "What can you see, lad?" For a moment, all you can hear is the lapping of the water, and then Jim's echoing shout reaches you. "It's this way, Captain. There are more caves and..." "And what?" Goldthorn asks. "I don't think we're the first people to come looking for the treasure," Jim shouts back. "You'd better come and see." "You heard the boy," Goldthorn says. "Follow me onto the ledge." Goldthorn goes first. You imagine if anyone's going to get to the treasure, he's going to make sure it's him. One by one, the men follow him. They make their way towards the cave entrance. Some move easier than others, nimbly setting foot after foot down until they too disappear. Others are more hesitant, freezing after every step, pressing themselves hard against the rock wall. You expected to be just as cautious, but once you're on the ledge, the idea of the treasure draws you on. You just want to see what's hidden within the caves. Glancing around the sunlit glade one last time, you slip under the arch and into the gloom. Your eyes take a moment to readjust, and then you make out a platform of stone just ahead of you. You take a large step off the ledge, then you're safely on the platform and can stretch your legs and cramped hands. It's a relief to be able to take normal strides. You look around you and see that there is a network of caves within the mountain. One leading on to the next. You follow the sound of Goldthorn's voice and make your way deeper into the cliff face. It's damp and cold in here, a refreshing change to the hot midday sun. Fortunately, it's not totally dark though, because there are small holes high above you that let in streams of sunlight. You walk across the smooth rock, getting closer to the echoing voices. You come out into a large cavern and stop for a second, mouth open at the giant open space which was hidden within the rock. It's the size of a cathedral, and you tip your head back, staring up into the ceiling far above you. There are stalactites hanging down in beautiful shades of cream, orange and brown. Goldthorn and the rest of the crew are standing around something, and walking over you notice a pile of rags propped against the wall. And then you swallow as you realise that these aren't just rags, it's a skeleton. "That's old Blackheart," Goldthorn says. "It's his treasure we're searching for. He must have brought it all down here and never left. Well, it's a shame for it to go to waste. Come on, men, split up. Search the caves." Goldthorn gestures to the dark cave openings around the sides of the cavern. 2 to a search party. Shout if you find anything." He hands out long wooden torches and strikes a flint, setting light to the oil-soaked ends. The wood flares into life, giving off a choking smoke that drifts up into the high ceiling. "Come with me," Jim says, taking a torch, and you follow behind him as he sets off towards the far wall. Your heart speeds up as you reach the dark entrance. What might await you? You pray there won't be booby traps. You follow the flickering flame that casts eerie shadows on the walls. Squaring your shoulders, you decide to act brave, even if that's not quite how you're feeling. Clambering over rocks and walking down long passages that seem to wind on forever, you hope you're not getting lost and wonder how far into the mountain you now are. It's cold and dark beyond the light of the torch. Slowly, though, you start to become aware of a glimmering light in the distance. "Do you see that?" Jim asks, glancing back at you. "Do you think we might..." He doesn't finish his sentence. Instead, he picks up his pace, and almost at a run, the two of you hurry towards the sparkling golden gleam. You stumble through an archway in the rock, and both come to a sudden stop. You gasp at the sight of the bright, shining gold that's everywhere you look. There are piles of coins, stacks of gold bars, and trunks of jewels and treasure. It's more money and riches than you've ever seen. It all looks so beautiful. You glance at Jim and you both let out a cheer. You look back at the treasure and then at each other. Jim raises a questioning eyebrow. It seems very tempting to fill your pockets. But then you remember the sharp swords hanging at the pirates' belts and that your only way off the island is back on the ship. "We found it!" you both shout. It doesn't take long for the cave to fill with pirates who begin loading the treasure into chests, filling bags with the coins and carrying as much as they physically can. Goldthorn sends 2 men to bring the rowboat. You'll need it to haul all this treasure back across the pool. It's going to take hours to transport all the gold onto the ship, but it will be worth it. "You did a good job," Goldthorn says, coming across to you and clapping you on the back. "Thank you for all your help. As a reward, you may help yourself to a piece of treasure to take home with you. Your choice." You smile and shake his hand. It's been an adventure, and you couldn't have done it without him. Spend time looking through the golden jewels. Choose which piece you want, and then make your way back to the ship. You can get Goldthorn to sail you home, or you can continue your adventure with him and his crew, searching for more treasure on the high seas. Whatever your choice, have fun.